Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time with me on the Cashflow Ninja show. I've got some really exciting things to talk about and have another incredible guest. Before we jump into that, just wanted to share again, we wrapped up our first 4 weeks of our Cashflow Core Builder program. So we took about 93 people through that, which was awesome. They loved it. Received some great feedback about the Cashflow Core Builder program. There's three segments that I did. The one is called The Game, in which I share the game of money and wealth and how the ultra wealthy play it. That was mind blowing to a lot of folks because I mean, everything that I have witnessed and seen and have personally been involved in, and share how the game works. Another segment that was fun, extremely valuable, was the environment, because the environment has changed so much. And then, of course, the family office segment, where I poured 20 years of knowledge and studying family offices and sharing everything that I know about that. We also walk people through how to basically write their own statement of purpose, their declaration of independence, and their family constitution, so they can implement the same things that family offices do for their own family. And as I shared with our members, you don't have to be a Rockefeller to do what the Rockefellers do. That essentially doesn't cost you anything, right? Writing a statement of purpose and a family constitution. 4 weeks, where week one, we covered the asset. Week two, we looked at the strategy. Week three, we looked at vehicles and tactics. And in week four, we did an entire week just on crypto and blockchain investing. If you're interested in that program, you could check it out at cashflowninja.com/core. That's C-O-R-E. And we also had massive requests for making crypto and blockchain investing materials available. We did an entire week, as I mentioned, in that Core Builder program, which we're rolling out into a different course called the Crypto Investing Method. In that program, we share six crypto and blockchain investing strategies. One also includes crypto banking. If you're interested in that, cashflowninja.com/crypto is where you can check it out. I am super excited to have my guest on in today's episode, Suzanne Mariga. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on your show today.
For folks not familiar with you and what you do, and by the way, you've got an incredible new book out, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have been a CPA for over 20 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even like telling people that anymore. Thank you for Miss Claire. All right. And, you know, started out my career with Anderson. Later on, went to KPMG. And about 13 years ago, I had my daughter. And I realized that my life was absolutely going to change, right? With motherhood. And, you know, it was an interesting story. I was like, you know, on a flight to Canada because I was responsible for all the Toronto operations at the time. And I remember just sitting on the plane and like not being able to fit in the seat anymore because I was in my third trimester. And I was like, oh my goodness, things are going to be really different going forward. And it popped to my mind. So, you know what? I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to start my own business. And I really want to help other entrepreneurs really, you know, like take what I've learned in these big four accounting firms and really, really go to the next level. And it was interesting because, you know, I started my business like many of you guys start your businesses, you know, because you absolutely love what you do, right? You love what you do and you would do it absolutely for free because that's just how much love you have for what you do. And it's interesting because as a CPA, that's exactly what I did. I did it for 3 years for free. Literally, my husband sat me down one Sunday night for dinner and he's like, you know what, honey, you're gonna be better off if you go back and get a JOB because, you know, frankly, you made more money. You had a steady paycheck. You had a 401k. You had vacation. You didn't work 80 hours a week. And for me, that was that pivotal moment that things had to change, right? Things had to change for me. And that's where I really started to embrace what we call the profit first method, right? The profit first method that was designed by Mike Michalowicz, where literally as entrepreneurs, we really start to intentionalize the things that we want and we pay ourselves first, right? We literally pay ourselves first. And we do that through the use of bank accounts. So, you know, like Dave Ramsey has envelopes, right? Where he says, you know, put your money in envelopes. You know, we don't want you keeping envelopes as a business owner. So we say, hey, create bank accounts with your intention. And so literally what happens is you're going to fund your profit first, right? Then you're going to fund your owner's pay, because as an owner, you need to make sure you get a paycheck. You can't be like me in my first year of the business. You gotta have a tax man. You know, that's a part of life. You're going to have a tax man. So you might as well fund that first too. And then whatever's left over goes to operating expenses. And literally, like, it's based upon Parkinson's law, you know, that supply and demand. As human beings, when there's more of something, we use more of it, right? You guys are cash flow ninjas. You guys know that, you know, whenever there's more. And so literally we're creating that mentality of illusion of scarcity, really, by literally limiting our spend to what's in this operating expense account.
Yeah. We read it in The Richest Man of Babylon. We read paying yourself first, right? And we have that principle and we get excited about it and we do it. And then we start our business, you know, to try and get away and escape this prison in the corporate world. And before you know it, we don't pay ourselves first in our business, and we've created another prison for ourselves by doing so and not setting it up with intention and building a business intentionally, which I know we're going to jump in today. But if you also want to share with folks, you just have a new book out. If you want to share the name of the book, what the book's all about, and what they will find in that book.
Thank you, MC. You know, it's actually it's part of the Profit First family. It's Profit First for Minority Business Enterprises. And what makes this book really unique? So first of all, if you're not a minority, don't shut the radio down. Keep on going. This book is for you too, if you're not. But we're going to talk about the key concepts of Profit First, just kind of what I went over with you in a lot of detail, actually how to implement it. And so, you know, we're going to talk about things like, you know, the government contracting, right? Because, you know, not all contracts are good contracts, right? People get super excited when they think of government contracts. They think of this millions and millions of dollars for being offering janitorial services to the government, right? And, you know, in the book, we challenged that. We said, you know what, that's actually an illusion of millions, that when you're playing with contracts that are millions of dollars, that just means potentially that you can have millions of dollars in losses is what that means. And so, you know, really it's, you have to be strategic about, you know, what contracts do best with government contracting. You know, do you want to respond to all the RFPs, right? Because, you know, maybe you're going down a rabbit hole where you're just going to be giving the government ideas, right? That they're going to use for the person that they do select. So when do you have a likelihood of actually succeeding on the government contract is what we're going to talk about in there. How to price that government contract to make sure it's worthwhile and when you should walk away from it, right? We're going to talk about that concept of sole source and how that's important too, and how those are the more lucrative beds. We're also going to talk about tax strategy, one of my favorite tax topics. You know, in addition to being a CPA, I am also certified by the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners, or CTC. So I do high net worth taxation. So we're going to talk about, you know, the secrets of the rich and famous, like MC just talked about. You know, like, how does Warren Buffett, you know, pay less taxes or taxes in a lower tax bracket than his secretary? How exactly does he do that? We're going to talk about that income shifting, you know, shelter within your legal entities, you know, some of the credits that are out there too, where the government actually can help you pay for your employees. We're going to talk about some of those things in the book too. So really very, very deep things about creating generational wealth through tax strategy, through pricing appropriately, through profit first, through government contracting, in order to really be able to shift your legacy is what this book is all about.
Yeah, I think a great part of our discussion today and to talk about it is to intentionally build your business. And I think that's what's covered in the book a lot too, because there's a lot of things that we don't think about at all as starting businesses and entrepreneurs. So maybe if you could speak to that, and especially where there's overlaps with the profit first model in intentionally building out this business and setting it up correctly to begin with.
You know, we have a phrase in the profit first world called entrepreneurial poverty. And you'd be surprised, you know, but it's really not, because even the SBA tells us that in their statistics, right? That half of small businesses are going to close, right, within a few years. And then like literally at the end of 10 years, like literally 35% are going to be left standing, literally. And so we know it is a real problem. And why these businesses closed, you know, is, you know, they say it's because they ran out of market, right? And we're going to challenge that, right? We're going to say it's because they ran out of cash, right? They ran out of cash and nobody would lend them anymore because it was like literally just going nowhere, right? And that's exactly what a common problem is, you know, just like what I was, you know, they're so focused on really just doing what they love and super serving that they think that, you know, the American dream is, you know, if I sell, that I'm going to be rewarded for my hard work. And it's really about strategy, right? It's about strategy that you employ in order to get the end result, right? And, you know, I love the book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And, you know, it really is deciding up front, what does winning look like? What does winning look like for you? And knowing, you know, it looks different for different people, right? It looks very different for different people. For some people, you know, it's like, hey, I just want to be that local mom and pop ice cream shop, have a good living, be able to retire one day, be able to sell this company one day. And then some people are like, you know what? I want to be like MC. I want to have like, you know, I want to have like an empire. You know what I mean? I want to have franchises where like, you know, I'm literally all across America. And the reason why this is important is because, you know, my strategy is going to be very, very different depending on, you know, my business. And so how I price is going to be different. How I'm going to target my clients. Am I going to have a boutique level service versus a more of a commoditized approach, right? It's going to be different based upon, you know, really what my end goal is. And so we start with why, we start with what does winning look like? And then we create the strategy to really start to align with how we get there. So again, creating that intentional business. And I know off air, MC and I had a really great conversation about, you know, retirement, right? One day. And a lot of you guys that are own businesses, you want to be able to retire and your business is an asset. And when I see businesses that sell, right, they go for a multiple of profit, right? A multiple, like 3x profit, 4x, you know, and 5x, you know, and then are they go for a percentage of revenue. And I always like joke because, you know, when I was like just starting my business, I went to this networking event and it was like this really prestigious networking event in downtown Houston. We were all buttoned up in our like nice suits. You know, I didn't have a tie, but you know, the guys were tied. That's how formal it was. Okay. And I remember like standing in the elevator and this gentleman walks in and he's like looking like he's like, you know, might as well have a tuxedo on. And me trying to network, I was like, you know, tell me about your business. And he starts going on and on and on about how he has these multiple million-dollar contracts. And I'm like, yeah, I just started my business. And I remember like feeling so awkward at this event. And later on, he became my client. And I remember like doing his financials and I was like looking at, you know, these multiple seven-figure revenues. But I was like, at the end of the day, you make $50,000. You make $50,000 on like, you know, $3 million in sales. Like, whoa, what have you been doing all that? I could have made more like just being a manager at CVS. You know what I mean? I could have made more than that. And really it's about, you know, it's not about the revenue, right? It's about the strategy. It's about making sure that you're going after the right contracts, that you're in the right market if you're in product sales, that you're delivering at a premium and that you're differentiating yourself, right? In order to have the results that, you know, there's too many entrepreneurs out there that are working that are giving great products, but they'll be better off with a JOB.
Yeah. Lots of great points to take away here for our community. So the big thing that you started off with is, you know, Simon Sinek, what does winning look like? And I've shared in one of our programs, you know, you have to create a game that's worth winning, right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? So what does that look like in the beginning for you? Because as you mentioned, there's so many different routes that you could go. And there's certain things that wouldn't be aligned with you necessarily. So doing things that are aligned with you might actually be the harder way, but that's what winning looks like for you. That resonated with me. One of my companies, for example, Producers Wealth, we do a lot of high cash value life insurance, infinite banking, and premium financing for folks, for investors and for business owners. And we're a boutique firm. And I kept it small in a boutique firm very intentionally, because I didn't just want to roll out and hire 60 people and have salespeople running around. I actually wanted people that eat their own cooking, people that have their own policies, people that are real estate investors, people that are business owners, actually helping investors and business owners. Fancy that. you know, people that are actually doing what other people are doing, helping them instead of just another sales person. So that's just a example from personal experience. So you have to figure that out. And would it be easier just to hire an army of people and, you know, maybe a couple of them stick around, others will leave, you know, through attrition. Yeah. But the boutique firm was the route to go, because that's what winning looks like. And then it ties into your entry and your exit. Are you going to start a business to sell it? Are you, you know, what does that look like? And then the other point that I also just wanted to share here, which you're doing such a great job of, is, and explaining, is because everybody gets caught into this trap as an entrepreneur, you know, and usually when you have this conversation too, every problem can be fixed through revenue and sales, right? But that's not being efficient. And that's actually just from experience. And because, you know, when you start out, that's how you think. And then a couple of years in business, you're like, no, that's totally not the way to go. Because as you mentioned, you could be making millions of dollars through certain contracts, make no money off of it. And also where the tax strategy comes in is, I have a massive tax issue because you weren't intentionally, you didn't have a strategy. You just ran around and tried to sell as much as you can. And now you get to keep less of what you have generated, right?
Oh, yeah. And this tax strategy is so important to MCN. And I know you talk about it all the time, but, you know, the larger the base you have to start with to invest with, right, the faster you're going to accumulate wealth, right? And the less you have, the slower it's going to take. So the more you are giving to the tax man, right, the less you're going to have to invest in your own business. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, the government, they create these loopholes. They create this strategy so that you can grow wealth, because reality is, you know, the social security system here in America, you know, I don't know if it's going to be here for us, you know what I mean? Nope. when we're ready for it. And so we have to be able to prepare for that, you know? And I know, like in my book, some of the things that I talk about is one of the best ways that I like to help my clients is, how can we increase your wealth, get you a tax deduction, right? Without increasing your expenses, right? Because too many accountants out there are lazy. I'm going to go ahead and say that. There are too many accountants out there lazy.
I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're too happy with giving you a tax return at the end and going, oh, you should have done this about a year ago. And no. Tax strategy is so important. It's so important to plan. For example, one of the best ways that I work with my clients on is, you know, when we talk about those end goals, you know, one day we're all going to retire, whether we want to or not, it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. Well, we're going to have to leave that workforce. And one of the best ways to do that is to create a 401k plan. I'm not talking about the simple plan, you know, I'm talking about something a bit more sophisticated. So if you're a scaling business and you've got employees, And you can even do more if you don't have employees. But if you have employees, right, maybe one of the things that's important to you is longevity, because the longer somebody's with you, right, the more your profits are going to go up, right? Because it's going to cost you more to hire somebody new, retrain them on how you do it, let them go through the cycle of making mistakes and learning from their mistakes than just by keeping your person, right, for 5 years, right, or more. And so one of the things you can do is you can set up a 401k plan, right? That has a, you know, you don't get to invest day one, right? You got to be with my company for 6 years in order to fully vest in the profit share, right? And what that means is that, you know, if you're like, you know, if you've got an employee and they're like, I'm millennial, right? And they're like, I'm out of here. I got a whole dollar more down the street. Then, oh, well, you know, you didn't invest in my plan. So I got a tax deduction all this time because I've been contributing towards your retirement because you aren't loyal. You actually are going to forfeit these contributions and they're going to go back into my retirement account. And I can use this money for my other employees later on to help make them contributions. Or I can say, you know what, in 10 years, I'm retiring. It's just going to stay in a trust. I'm the only one standing. I built my retirement all the time because employees only stay on an average of 2 years. You know, again, it's lining up the tax strategy with what the intentions are of the business in order to create the longevity of your employees. So again, aligning what's important to you in order to build that tax wealth.
Yeah, there's so much that you could get into from a tax strategy standpoint to maintain employees. That's one aspect. And then the other thing that you also mentioned is, you know, the lazy thinking for business owners is just max out their own personal retirement contributions and pay for stuff. It's like, no, no, no. There's so many other high level strategies that you could do as a business owner, whether it's the entity setup and even throw in captive insurance strategies, which I know that you've spoken about too. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that too, because that's a whole world that could open up for business owners and be more effective and efficient from a tax strategy point.
Oh yeah. And just with the 401k, I mean, you can put up to $58,000 per person. So you hire your spouse, you double that, almost $120,000 that you're putting away. So definitely not small money. This is going to be some good money if you're going to be getting into crypto and stuff like that to invest in. And then the other thing is, you know, just like MC says, you know, one of the things that we talk about too is legal entity, right? Legal entity, sheltering money through legal entities in the book. And, you know, certain entities have lower tax rates with it, especially if you don't need the cash now, or if you're not able to take advantage of the QBI, qualified business income deduction, right? Because of, you know, your bracket, right? So if you're not approaching that $500,000 mark. But another one that's really good, as MT talks about, is the captive, right? And what a captive is like, you know, companies, they have to buy insurance, right? You got to get general liability. You've got those kind of things. And you get a deduction when you pay for those type of insurances. But do you know you can actually own your own insurance company? Yeah, you can own your own insurance company. We call that a captive. And now the captive, you probably don't want to have your auto policy in there. That's probably not a good idea. But let's say you've got, you know, you're a hand model and you've got to insure those hands, those lovely hands. And that might be a great, I love your hands, MC, that, you know, that might be a great opportunity to insure those, right? Insure that. So your business is getting a deduction on paying insurance expense, but the premiums that are going into your own self-owned insurance company, right, up to $1.2 million, the premiums is non-taxable to the insurance company, right? Because insurance companies, they're regulated by the state. They have to have so much in reserves in order to cover a claim. Right? It's because, you know, we definitely don't want anything happening to those hands. And if they do, we got to pay a claim for it, right? And so that's not taxable income. And the lovely part about that is when you're ready to retire and shut down the company, you know, you also have that opportunity to dissolve this insurance company that, by the way, was great to tax deductions all along because you paid premiums. But what's going to happen at the end of the day is that, you know, when it's time to dissolve this company that you've never paid any taxes on the premium, right, is that you get capital gain treatment. Yeah, capital gain treatment. So if you're like normally in that 37% bracket, you know, the top capital gain bracket is 20%. So that's like a 17% savings. And you could always dissolve it whenever, right? You don't have to dissolve it when you retire. You can dissolve it, you pass it on to your kids, you know, you can dissolve it whenever. And so, you know, you might even be able to dissolve it at a time that you might be in that 0% bracket, right? Because capital gains, some people are paying 0% on that. So, you know, that's how the captive work. And again, it's just one of those great income shifting strategies that we work with our clients on that I talk about in the book.
Yeah. And you have full control over the cash that's in there. You get to invest that too. Obviously there's technicalities of having a certain amount of reserves in place and so forth, and the things that you can insure it for. By the way, it's a great way for business owners to insure the things that they're not going to find insurable or policies for in the marketplace. There's a lot of things that you might want to insure that you can't really find a policy just out in the marketplace for that. There's someone in our that I know pretty well. He was a public speaker, for example. So he insured, you know, he was traveling a lot and speaking. So in 2020, obviously, he wasn't doing a lot of that. Well, he had a captive insurance policy set up with his own captive company that actually paid claims on that for that loss of income that he wasn't able to do. So there's little things that you could do that are pretty powerful. And as you said, eventually when you take it out, capital gains, and there's strategies of how to take that out effectively and efficiently. There's always a lot of different techniques and ways to do things properly, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's ways around everything.
Absolutely. And it's just changing your, you know, changing the facts and changing your tax environment by doing that. And being intentional, that's the big thing, right? With the first model and being an intentional entrepreneur and creating your business intentionally.
Exactly. And again, it's not allowing your business to give you random results, right? It's really honing in what's important to me at the end of the day. How much do I need to retire? How much do I need to live in? And really creating a company that is going to produce that for you.
Yep. Let's talk about exit strategies too. From an exit point, what are some of the ways that businesses can be valued for sale? So this is also good to know that if you are starting a business and the business is growing, that there's something that you're building towards, right? Towards that exit, and you have a certain number in mind or a certain size of your company when you want to eventually exit it.
Oh, yeah. I think the big thing to keep in mind is people buy assets. They don't buy jobs, right? I mean, you might get somebody that might buy a job, but most people want a company that is going to self-regulate and run without them, right? They want a turnkey solution. So first of all, it's creating a company that isn't dependent on you, right? You know, one of the things that I did with my company is, you know, as my company grew, every step of the way, I fired myself. I fired myself from everything. I fired myself from bookkeeping, eventually from, you know, prep, secretarial. I just fired myself. As soon as I mastered something, I hired somebody else and fired myself from it. And eventually, you know, you get to a point that your company really runs without you, that you can just spend time talking to MC and some of your big, big clients. But really, you know, you can literally have a company that just self-runs without you is the goal. Because at the end of the day, people are going to buy companies that are assets. And an asset is something that, you know, like buying Procter & Gamble stock, it runs without you, right? And it produces dividends. And that's what they're looking for with that. And, you know, I'll say one thing about valuation. Companies typically go for different things, right? They go for a percentage of revenue. They'll go for multiple profit. They'll go based upon asset value. And usually it's like base or even based upon market value. And literally it's taking all these numbers and coming with an arbitrary negotiation a point, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not like you walk into a Walmart and your company's $2.99. No, you know, everything is negotiable. And so really being able to pinpoint, you know, what makes your company valuable, right? What's your unique selling proposition? You know, what is the overall return, right? Because people want cash, right? They want a company that generates positive cash flow too, right? And being able to demonstrate that over the years. And that's for the reason why running that intentional company is so important, why employing a method like Profit First, where you're intentionally producing profit, right? Because like we talked about, if you're not intentionally setting aside profit, it probably won't happen, right? Just like Dave Ramsey talks about his envelopes, right? If you don't intentionally pay yourself, you probably will never pay yourself, right? So it starts with just making sure that your business is positive cash flow and being intentional about making that happen.
Absolutely. A little bit of a different shift. So when entrepreneurs eventually do some proper estate planning too, along with asset protection and so forth, what are some of the strategies? And I wrote down here, you know, I wrote down Bill and Melinda Gates was getting divorced, and then Jeff Bezos comes to mind and he's divorced. But if they stay together, you know, the Buffetts and so forth, those folks don't pay taxes on their estate as well. What are some of the ninja tricks that you can share on those of how they're able to do this and continue to do this? I don't think they're having sleepless nights over capital gains taxes being potentially raised eventually.
You know, there's a lot of things. You know, one thing, like you said, you know, tax law is constantly changing, right? Depends on who's in office and how the parties are getting along and who's in charge really determines that. I think one of the big things that you can think about is there's always step up in basis, right? There's always step up in basis, meaning that when I die, you know, if I buy a house, right? I buy a house and, you know, oh goodness, I'm gonna say 2021, right? And let's say I live in a place like California or New York City where prices are constantly rising, right? And, you know, what I could do is, you know, and let's say it grows to the point that it is beyond the $500,000 that I get to exclude in capital gain when I sell my house because I lived in it from 2 out of 5 years, right? And what happens literally is, let's say I don't sell the house before I die, right? then my kids inherit the house and they get something called step up in basis is what they get. And that means that if I bought my house for $200,000 and I'm selling my house for $1.5 million, right? Because that's the way inflation goes. We see lumber has doubled in price, right? In just a year, you know, my kids are going to inherit this house as if they bought it for that $1.5 million, right? And so if they sell it one day after they inherit it, you know, what happens is they don't pay any tax at all on this house that they inherited from mom and dad. So a lot of the assets that they're going to pass is going to be subject to step up in basis, you know, and there's pretty generous thresholds on the amount that can be passed, you know, that would allow them to have that. So that is really good from that standpoint. You know, I know some people get into those living trusts, that type of thing too, where you control those assets until the point that you die. And then they go into the trust from that standpoint. And again, those are going to get a little bit more sophisticated. I'm going to AMC, definitely give us a call. We can talk about that because, you know, trusts do have tax rates with that too. But those are just some of the things that you would employ. But again, that's when you're getting into that excess of 5 million that you're passing on and that type of thing.
Yep. You can give your wealth away, quote unquote, right? So there's a lot of different strategies. One habit I've observed from very wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying and continue to study. What are you currently studying?
You know, I love studying everything. You know, I feel like recently for having come from writing authorship, right? You know, that's probably been the biggest thing that I'm studying. It's more so what impact do you want to live in the world? And how do you take what's in your mind and put it into a book form? And there's a whole different, you know, there's a whole lot that goes behind a book, you know, from like writing the book and creating a book that has the reader in mind to actually marketing a book, right? It's a business in its own. It's really interesting how that all works together. So I'm kind of getting off of that. I think I'm going to go on vacation next, though. That's my next priority.
There you go. Very well deserved. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would that be?
You know, it would be, first of all, know your values. Know your values up front, right? Because every decision that you make is going to be based upon your values. And if you don't know what's important to you and you don't know what you stand for, then really everybody determines the way that you go, right? So just be steadfast and know who you are with everything. And then the second thing is that I would say is, you know, with that is, you know, start with why, right? Start with why. Start with what's important to you, what winning looks like at the end of the day, because that's going to be the way that, you know, you're going to accomplish, right? There's a whole psychology between, you know, the conscious and the subconscious mind and creating those dendrite synapses, those chemical hormonal reactions to get you where you're going. And so that all starts with knowing what winning looks like, starting with your why in order to create that reality for you. And then finally, you know, I just have to go there. Take your profit first. Come on, guys. Take your profit first.
Awesome. Awesome. Where can folks learn more about you? Where can they follow you? And where can they get a copy of your book?
So the best way to follow me would be just to head over to my website, SuzanneMaringa.com would be the best way to find me. We also have a Profit First masterclass that we do there where we teach the ins and outs of Profit First completely for free because we want to leave nobody behind. We want to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. And then the book, you can actually get that on Amazon. So you can get that on Amazon. Just go in there, Profit First for Minority Business Enterprises, and you can get the book.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for all of my listeners and viewers.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for watching and listening to our show and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me for another episode. Please check out all of our past episodes and all of our community programs and resources, along with over 750 podcasts that we've done between the two shows at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely.
presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.